morning. We are looking at 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John. We are looking at 1 John again because we've done this before, but not like we're doing it now, that I can tell anyway. And from what I see, we have come to realize more what it's going to take to be a Christian during the tribulation days. And maybe here comes a guy with a lawnmower now. Good timing. And we're seeing what it will be like in the tribulation, because 1 John, there's just no way, there's no way 1 John matches what Paul teaches. And if it doesn't match what Paul teaches in Galatians chapter 1, it's a false doctrine for today. It's still the truth, but it's the truth for the tribulation. And I was thinking, you know, as rough as we all have it, different things happening in jobs and health and everything, to not be able to buy, sell or trade anything, and how much the brethren will mean to everybody during the tribulation, because they will know who's in the same boat they're in, without a paddle with a hole in it. They'll know for a fact who are the Christians. And so they really will be there for each other. And we don't have much of that these days. Well, we don't have that threat. Paul tells us we should love each other and the brethren and everything. Who knows? I mean, there's so many another Jesus situations out there. So, yeah. And then the people who are trying to do something according to Paul's teachings, it seems like it never lasts. It's not because we can't. We're just caught in the vanity of life, the vanity of ourselves. And it's everything is still so much about ourselves. Like I say, 1 John, there's just no way. And we get into this chapter 5. This thing is so similar to the Gospel of John. Well, of course, it was written by the same guy. But some interesting stuff this morning. And we're going to look at this witness thing here in a couple of minutes, and you'll see where we get into it here. So let's start with chapter 5. We're in verse 6 is where we made it so far. Now, we finished verse 5. We talked about the overcomers. And during the tribulation, you know, if you get tired of me saying that, that's the way it has to be, because that's what this is all about. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, then we go to verse 6. This is he, well, we're talking about Jesus, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. He throws it in again, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Okay, now let's look at that stuff this morning here. And let's go to verse 6. And this is very interesting, because what we're looking at here is we're looking at the witness, and we're going to look at the witness for today. Where is our witness? Where is this witness? This our witness to us today. Okay, now let's see if we can see if this thing kind of gives us a clue. First of all, let's go to verse 6 again. This is he that came by water and blood. Water and blood, 1 Timothy 3:16. What does 1 Timothy 3:16 say? I think you probably know. We'll look at it, get the pages flipping, because this is how you remember where things are at. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. Okay, in the flesh, water and blood, okay? This is he, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, okay? So he came, God came physically in the flesh, manifest in the flesh. Okay, and then it says here, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Okay, so we know that the Spirit of God, because that's a capital S, the Spirit of God is the witness. Well, we think right away of John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14, because this is what John is talking about. He's always talking about here, you know, the Spirit of God is the witness. So we go to John 14, you see where it's written to us, written to people in detail. And we're going to go to verse 12, do a chunk of reading here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There's the stuff about let's do what Jesus does, let's imitate Jesus. Now that isn't what John is saying, but the Bible's modern. They say let's be an imitation of Jesus. But look at this. It says, not only does it say that the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, how can somebody do greater than what Jesus did? Well, just watch here. And whatsoever ye ask shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is where this in Jesus' name thing comes about, that we say when we used to say anyway, we'd pray, we ended up with in Jesus' name. Or we would say in Jesus' name, or in the name of Jesus, all this kind of talk. And because of that, he will do it, anything we ask. Well, we have learned by now, either we are so wrong with this King James Bible and this rightly divided thing, because I'm asking Jesus some things here, and I know he's not just going to do it. So if we're in this situation, then we should get it. Well, we all know that's not happening, hasn't happened. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we know 1 John, we've been over that stuff. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Okay, now this is, you know, this is pre-crucifixion time. He's telling this stuff to the disciples. This is what's going on here. And 1 John talks about it similar. Well, of course, like I say, written by the same guy. And even the Spirit of Truth. Remember what 1 John says there? And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Well, we know that we have to be taught the truth from the Spirit of God. So we understand that. But the question is how today? And we'll see some more here in a minute. Because it seeth from even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Well, we can understand that. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. We understand what he's saying there. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now look at this. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth thee, loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Okay, now how does Jesus manifest himself to us? Is it because we're keeping his commandments? Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Okay, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So now, I don't know why these guys say works aren't involved here. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So those word is very important here. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay, one more verse here, I think. Yeah, one more verse here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yeah, that's Hannity's little plug at the end, you know, like he knows anything about it. Okay, so we see here, yes, the Spirit is bearing witness. If we go to John chapter 16, verse 13, Let's go to chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me no more. And judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now listen to this verse here. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So what we hear from the Spirit of God is being told to us by Jesus, who had told him by his Father as well. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now let's go back to 1 John. That was the background for why John says what he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Let's go back to 1 John here. So far we're not reading anything to us. This is just as fact. We're looking at history. When Jesus left, then the Comforter is available, the Spirit of God is available to people. And we're looking at the tribulation, the same thing. The Spirit of God will be available to those people. Now, just for a sidelight, just for a second here, let's just make sure everybody knows where this is at. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We see in verse 17. These guys thought Peter and all these guys were drunk, you know, and he says, verse 15, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that's chapter 2, 28, by the way. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I know I'm not dreaming any dreams that's worth preaching about to anybody. They're kind of scary, and they're kind of depressing sometimes. I find myself back in schools or churches or whatever, fighting everybody. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor, smoke, or goes on. Sun shall be turned to darkness. See, that's tribulational stuff. That's not then, and it's not now. Okay, now here's my point here. We're looking at the fact that, sure, Jesus Christ, he was God manifest in the flesh. We know that the Spirit will bear witness of him because he left. And the Spirit of God is bearing witness. And the question is, does he bear witness in the same fashion today as he did in the gospel days and as he will in the tribulation? And if not, what is our witness today? Well, we can obviously say it's always going to be the Spirit of God. But the question is how does the Spirit of God provide that witness? How does God show us the witness today? How does God show the witness tomorrow? And then, you know, like yesterday. So let's go back here. 1 John again. Chapter 5, verse 7. Now here's these neat verses that the other Bibles combine, and they really mess this thing up something fierce here. Verse 7. For there are three. Where's the other? There are three that bear record. Okay? By the way, if you go down to verse 11, we see what the record is. That God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. No argument there. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, there's no argument there. So verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. Father, capital W, Word, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, one of Trinity, there it is. Because it says these three are one. Now, just quick, like here, let's go to John chapter 1. Again, let's back to John. Because John's the writer of both Johns. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, so we have there the Father, the Word, not the Son, but the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, and these three are one. Okay, that's a record in heaven. Now, we also know, I will save her for a couple minutes here. Let's go to verse 8. Now we're going to see this witness down here on earth, and there are three that bear witness in earth. Okay, they're bearing witness of what? The record that's in heaven. Bear witness in earth. One is the Spirit, of course, and then the water and the blood. See, that's flesh. That's manifest in the flesh. And then it says, and these three agree in one. One says the record in heaven is they are one. And the record down here on earth, to bear witness in the earth, these three agree. But now we've got to remember, which we don't have, I mean, don't have to got to remember this, but remember, the water and the blood, he's no longer down here anymore. So he sends us the Spirit of God, like he says he always will. So when Paul talks about the Spirit of God, and Paul talks about these people receiving what he talks, we'll see that in a minute here. What's up with that? Does that still take place today? Can we still get this spiritual leading? We know the answer is the Bible. So does this happen without the Bible? No. That's the difference between Paul. Paul gives us the words of the Word. We'll get back to that in a minute here. Now, so if this water and blood, which is the flesh, which is Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh, but he's gone, so then does the water and blood, is it referring to men? You know, the flesh thing. Well, the next verse says, if we receive the witness of men, well, the witness of God is greater. So, back to the fact that in heaven, it says in Psalm 119, forever thy word is settled in heaven. Then we go look into 1 Corinthians 13:10. We know that, the word of God, that which is perfect. So the question here is, in earth, what's the witness? Is it the spirit only? Is it water and blood, which is flesh? Is it men? Is it just people? Is it all these different Bibles, all these different books, all this religion, all that stuff? Is that where it fits in? Or do we go back to verse 7 and realize where he says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the Word became flesh, and so then when the Word had to leave, did he leave us his words? And if he did, you know, how do we know these things? What's this witness? Well, let's go back to John again. Because we want the witness of God, not the witness of men. When they say that this King James Bible was put together by men, they're wrong. It's put together by God. And if we don't believe that, and we've seen it proven, but if we, you know, these men aren't anything special. Sure, they're very smart, intelligent, scholarly people, but that isn't how it got put together. Let's go back to John. Let's go to John chapter 5. And let's look at this. We talked about this before in the past. Let's look at these. We've got four witnesses here. By the way, we could take the time, we won't. We could take the time to look up here, talk about Jesus warning about a false witness. So we know that there's a false witness floating around. There's a verse where it talks about these witnesses against Jesus. They couldn't even agree together, you know. When Jesus was challenged about, is he the Son of God? You know, is he the true witness type of thing? What does he say? He didn't say anything. And when Pilate says, you know, everybody thinks that you're just a piece of dirt. And why do you not stick up for yourself? Well, he doesn't say anything. And never a word he says here. And the fact that he never said anything, it says there in Matthew and Mark that the governor marveled. I mean, he was amazed at this guy. He was marveled that this guy wouldn't say anything when he's been so falsely accused. And even the accusers couldn't even get along, couldn't even say the same stuff. We have that today against the King James Bible. These guys can't even get together. What's wrong with it? Everybody's got their own different thing. They all disagree with each other. So we know that stuff. We know there's a false witness floating around. We understand all that. I think one of the things people have a hard time is to say their Bible they listen, they read, or the church that they go to, who we got on there this morning, the church that they're going to, or the pastor they're listening to, is putting forth a false witness. Now, put that on people. I can't go to that church because the pastor preaches a false witness. Well, he talks about Paul. I know, but he talks about Peter, and he talks about James, and he talks about John, and he talks about Matthew, he talks about Isaiah, and Jacob, and all these guys, you know. Is he lying? He's talking about the Bible, yeah, but he's putting it such that is a false witness. It isn't done that way. There's a thing this morning, E100, I think it's called, where the American Bible Society is putting out this, here's 100 of the classic verses in the Bible that'll help you understand your Bible. What a joke. I mean, that's not even, I shouldn't say it's a joke, it's not even funny. It's a terrible thing. It's a false witness. Your friendly, happy neighborhood pastor is putting forth a false witness. What you were reading when you watch a religious movie or a movie or a whatever, you're seeing a false witness, witnessing the world. When people tell you about things that you should be doing and you can do it, it's okay because you're a Christian, they're giving you a false witness. False witness is a very serious thing. So, let's go to John chapter 5. Let's look at the witnesses that existed at that time and see what's going on here. John chapter 5, let's look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about when you remember what he does when he is crucified and he goes to hell, and he comes back, and all these people come back and resurrect with him? This is what he's talking about here. And it's based on whether they've done good or done evil. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He even says here, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. They don't believe him. Just because he says, well, everybody, there's a lot of people today that says, well, they are, you know, it was myself. They say that I am the Savior. Kind of Hitler thought that. And there's a bunch of people today. So anyway, verse 32. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Okay. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Well, that's John the Baptist. Is he our witness today? Well, he's a witness because he's in the Bible. Yeah, that's a historical witness, but is he our witness today? Do we go to John the Baptist for our today witness? No, we don't. Okay, but I have, verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. Okay, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Okay, number two is the works that Jesus did that his Father wanted him to do. Okay, well, you know, just for a second here, bunny trailers, go to John chapter 17 for a minute. This is Jesus' really last prayer. And he says in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So Jesus did the work that God wanted him to do. Okay, so is that our witness today? Well, again, we get it out of the Bible. In the Gospels, that's what Jesus did. That's why we tell people, yeah, you still need to read the Gospels. You need to see what the work was that Jesus was doing down here. But is that directly a witness to us? It's a witness that we can read about, but is that our witness? If it was, we should be studying the Gospels and trying to live the Gospels, because that's the witness to us. No, it's not. Okay, let's go to 37. This is the third witness. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Okay, so there's the third witness. So, these people that don't have a Bible, don't want a Bible, and they have a different Bible, take your pick, whatever the thing fits, and God has spoken to them, is that how we follow, is that the witness we have today? Well, it says right here in 37, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Well, we have the Bible, we realize this Bible is a witness of God. Okay, but is the Father himself directly Is he our specific witness that we can read about to us? Is this stuff to us? No. How about 38? And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Okay? So he just says, listen, you know, you guys aren't even believing what God is telling you. 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they which testify of me. Number 4, the scriptures. Well, sure. Okay, but now what he would have been talking about here would have been the Old Testament scriptures. Because they didn't have Paul's writings yet. Okay. So, but yeah, that shows the scriptures are an important witness to him, of him. So then the question has to be to people, do we still have the scriptures today? Well, if we go back and we see where it talks about First John, or John the Baptist, and he's one of the witnesses. Well, we've got preachers today that are preaching that all the time. Goes back to John the Baptist, you know, the writers, landmarkers for the Baptist crowd. And then where it says they're the, you know, the works of the Father, well, we got the devil mimicking his works today, getting more and more miracles and more signs and wonders, so there's something that's taking place, but that's not from the Father. That's not the works that God has told us during Paul's time. We go to 3, the third thing, where the Father himself bears witness. Well, the devil himself can bear witness too, and he's going to try to, remember in Revelation, trying to get together his army by deceiving and lying people, lying to people, 2 Thessalonians, the signs and wonders and stuff. As we get closer to the tribulation, that whole thing is increasing. So the devil can trick that. And then the thing about Scripture, what has the devil done about that? Oh, we got like 500 different Bible versions out there. There's been such a mess in the last 20 years that people don't even believe that there is ever even one Bible. And that E100 thing, 100 verses from the American Bible Society, the first thing it says, now find a Bible translation that you're comfortable with, and then let's read these verses. It's just, you know, the scriptures have been mocked and mimicked and copied and changed and tweaked, perverted. So the devil's taken those 4 witnesses and he's perverted them. He's tricked people with them. Now go down to verse 46, chapter 5. Let's see here. We'll better go back to where we were, verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. We know that. People take these other Bibles, they love these other Bibles, if they care at all about a Bible. How can ye believe which receive honor of another and not seek the honor that cometh from God only? We are looking to be friends. We are looking to fit in. We are looking to have honor from the people on this earth, family people, neighbors, friends. But we don't seek the honor that comes from God. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Okay, now Jesus ends this whole thing up with the fact that these words, these scriptures, are a witness. Right? Now look at John chapter 18. You know the question coming up here is, yeah, do we still have those scriptures today? But let's look at a couple other things here. John chapter 18, verse 37. I'll show you this verse here. John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So there's why Jesus came. He's our witness. Well, sure. You know, the works of the Father, John the Baptist was a witness, the Father himself, the scriptures. It's all about Jesus being the witness on this earth. Okay. That's not hard to deal with. By the way, he's called the faithful witness and the faithful and true witness. So, you know, we don't have a problem with that. But, who's the witness today? Is it It's settled in heaven. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. So it's already been taken care of. And those three are one, it says there. Down here, we have the Spirit, water, and blood. We get the Spirit and the flesh. And these three agree in one. Well, it's not the flesh of man. It's not the witness of man. It's the witness of God. That's greater. Okay, so we're looking for that thing. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Now we get to Paul a little bit here. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says this. You know this, it's on somebody's truck. We mentioned that. God forbid, yet let God be true, every man a liar. But don't cut off the second half of the verse. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome that thou art judged. Don't be satisfied with the fact that the scriptures say that you're a liar. Then keep living your life as a liar and being happy and comfortable with it. No, that it's stated that we're a liar because if we turn to what God says, then we can be justified in what we say. And then we can overcome, you know, the mocking and the anger and the fact that we lose friends by what we say, because, hey, I didn't say that. That's what God says about it. You want to go to this particular place? No, why not? Because God says that it's a place where you don't belong. You want to go do something? You want to go be something? You want to go wear something? You want to go watch something? Well, we really shouldn't. We're going to say that it's great. Oh, yeah, you should have seen that movie. No, you're a liar. God says that's not a good thing to have watched. Anyway, it goes on and on, that whole story there, see. Okay, so who is our witness? With all this confusion, it looks like there's a bunch of confusion here. You got the Spirit, you got the water and blood, you got the Word. I mean, do we have the Word? We got John the Baptist we could look to. We could look at the works that Jesus did on this earth in the Gospels. Is that our witness? You know, God himself is going to teach us things in our little heart that Paul talks about. Is that what we have here? And there are the scriptures. Well, do we even have the scriptures today to look at? Well, let's take the scriptures, as we believe them to be without a problem, and let's go see what Paul's doing here with all this kind of stuff here. Well, here, let's go to Acts 14. Go to Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 17. Here's a witness that we still have, and we still have it. Nevertheless, he left not him, verse 17. Acts chapter 14, verse 17. He left himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Well, that's a witness, but it doesn't always happen, does it? So we got a world that's looking to that to see if God will take care of them. Hey, what's my deal on the job thing? Did this job thing happen? Because this is what God wants to happen? Is he behind this whole thing? Is this a witness? Because it says right here, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. I worry about food and gladness here pretty soon. As you all have been in the same situation over time, your health and everything. And that's not a very reliable witness today. We got drought, we got climate changes, we don't have global warming, but we do have climate changes. We got the jet stream turning around. We got people having snow still. We got people where they had rain, not having rain. We have the people where they're having rain, not having rain. I think I said that right, I'm not sure. Farmers that relied on rain, then getting the rain, and the farmers that relied on irrigation are getting plenty of rain. I mean, it's just a messed up thing. It's like that witness really is not a... Where's our witness today? We see in Acts 15, let's go to Acts 15, verse 8. This is what Paul says to his people. And God which knoweth the hearts, verse 8, I said that, 15, verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost. And he's talking about the Gentiles. Here, Peter's talking about this one all of a sudden. So what's going on here? You know, these people received the Holy Ghost. We received the Holy Ghost. Does the Holy Ghost just talk to us? Are we the anointed ones? Are we the ones with unction? No. Well, here are the three key verses, and we'll be done here. I hope I set it up enough for you to realize 1 John is not to us. And this witness thing is a great thing, but this witness that's being talked about here is being talked about during the gospel time and the tribulation time. What's the witness going to be during the tribulation? Can't be water and blood. Those men aren't going to know diddly squat. Be lying all over the place. It's the Spirit of God. What's the record up in heaven? Well, it's the Father, it's the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Where's the Word at during the tribulation? Well, it's going to be a famine. Where's the Word at during Paul's time? Where's the Word at during the gospel time? Well, let's ask the question, where's the Word at today? And who is our witness? Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 20, then I got a surprise at the ending here for you. Acts chapter 22, verse 15. Actually, let's go to 12. Acts, I guess I'm returning to myself. Acts 22. Okay. Now, here we go. We know this stuff. We understand that, so why do you keep talking about it? Well, maybe if I just can convince some people who still aren't reading their Bibles yet to read their Bibles and to look to this Paul guy. You know, you agree with it, but do you deal with it? I mean, this is still the issue of the day. And we are letting it fall, we're letting it slide. We have to do what we have to do. Do we? We're not in the tribulation yet. We don't have to do what we have to do yet. Acts 22:12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, that's Paul, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. Now here's what Ananias said. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, who's thee, that's Paul, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Okay, so Paul is our witness. Well, how can you say that? Well, because this is the dispensation of grace. This is not the tribulation. This is not the gospel time of the apostles. So Paul is our witness. Look at chapter 23, verse 11. Paul's testimony again. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome. Okay, so Paul's going around being a testimony, being the witness. Look at chapter 26. Acts 26, verse 16. They tell people not to go to Acts for doctrine, but boy, if you don't go to Acts, you don't find out about Paul. Acts 26, verse 16. Again, this is Paul's testimony before Agrippa. He says, but arise, this is Jesus talking to Paul, or Saul at the time, but arise and stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Of what? Both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. He's our witness. Paul is our witness. Okay, now, obviously, how do we get a hold of Paul? How do we hear from Paul? Well, I guess that takes us back to the John the Baptist going to talk about Paul. No. Is God going to talk about Paul? Well, yeah, he is, but he's doing it through the Spirit of God. And he's showing Paul as the man to go here. So I guess we have to boil down to the fact that we got to go to the Scriptures to find out about Paul. Well, how do we know where the Scriptures? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 13:10. Here's another indirect way or a direct way to come about with the fact that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is referring to the King James Bible. It has to be. And then we go through that whole sermon about verse 8, 9, you know, 11 and 12, and that kind of a thing. It can't be Jesus' second coming because da-da-da-da. So, let's go back to 1 John. This whole thing in 1 John is about a witness. But it's not about our witness. Sure, in heaven, Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. Not a problem with that. So the Word becomes flesh. He comes down. He leaves us the comfort, which is the Spirit of God. And at first, go around and tell the world, and there's going to be signs to prove it. That's done. This Paul guy comes along, and we learn from him, because he's our witness. And we read about him in the Word. So we do have the Scriptures. But we also know it can't be all these other different Bibles, because they say different things. Then you get into those studies, and you can prove to your face is blue that the King James Bible is the only Scripture. Well, nobody wants it. Well, that's not our problem. We get our witness today through a King James Bible put forth by the Spirit of God, by God Himself, by Jesus Christ Himself, and it's through a man named Paul. Now, here's the bonus one. Here's the bonus thought for you. Let's go a little bit deeper with this witness. And this is the part that really tweaks the Christians. The Paul guys. And even us. You know, we talk about it. We say, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we really don't look to this witness. Let's go to Titus. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. He says here, this witness is true. Oh, what witness is true? You go back up to verse 10, 11, 12, it's talking about vain and unruly talkers and deceivers. These are subverters of your houses and this type. It says, he says we should rebuke them. And not to follow the commandments of men. He says in verse 15 that these are defiled and unbelieving. And in verse 16 it says they profess that they know God. Well, saying that is a true statement. Okay? It goes right into verse chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So I just want to show you a couple of verses here. Paul is our witness, and the Spirit of God is in this King James Bible. It's in us through this King James Bible, through Paul's teachings. Let's take it just one little step further. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Now remember these verses here. You're even still awake, I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 says this, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Look at verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit is refreshed by all. Not the Spirit of God, his spirit. Look at chapter 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Look at verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Look at chapter 12, verse 18. You see my point here this morning? And 12, verse 18 says here, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Titus is a witness to us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. And this is what's making me so unpopular so I can't teach in a school because I'm too old. I should be able to find a church someplace so there's not a pastor. Yeah, right. That isn't going to happen either. I'm just out of luck. I'm just going to be broke and destitute in about 3 months. Mark, you can take over the whole shebang. In the meantime, I want to say to people that are listening, 1 Corinthians 4, 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That doesn't happen today. Hang in there, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the works of the Lord, as I do also. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. There's no confusion. Yea, I don't know, nay, yes, I don't know. What are you talking about? No, it's straight. Yea. 1 Timothy, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now this is, you're not going to like this, I think. Sleeping is going to keep people from hearing this stuff all the time here. 1 Timothy, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And I'm in the same boat. I'm running out of steam. Verse 18. Paul tells Timothy, holding faith in the, where are we at here? 1 Timothy 1:18. There it is, 18, wrong verse. This charge I commit unto thee, talking to Timothy, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on, which went before on thee, that thou buyest them that mightest war a good warfare. Timothy is a witness to the fact that we're going to have to fight a war. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Just go back a little bit here. First, and we're done with two more verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And then lastly, look at chapter 3, verse 6. Just a couple of verses down. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. So Timothy and Titus are part of Paul's witness. Well, we know that. I know. But we have to be reminded. When Paul tells us that we need to live, look to his manner of life for our living, we don't just look to Paul. We look to Titus, and we look to Timothy. And that's where we're supposed to get our comfort. Because we know that we're doing the things that please God. If we can look at Timothy and Titus and say to yourself, well, I'm trying to do that. And then we start reading about our modesty. We start reading about how we talk. We start reading about where we should go and where we should not go. We start reading about who we should not be around. We realize that we're going to be deceived. There's going to be people trying to deceive us. And we're going to fight the warfare to show them the truth. That's what a Christian is all about today. We're not trying to be somebody uniquely arrogant above Christianity. That's the norm for Christianity. All this stuff, the witnesses from Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided, and Timothy and Titus will give us our comfort in our walk, because we will learn from those two guys, you know, through Paul, but those two guys in those two books, three books, actually tell us that we're doing the right thing. And we know from Paul in Romans that when our insides, the battles we fight amongst ourselves, nobody knows about those. And we know that God's taking care of those. But this outside walk, that's that body, Romans 12, you know, that's that living sacrifice we're supposed to make. Don't have to do. All things are lawful. And it brings us to vanity. The reason we don't want to do these things that Paul tells us are the reasons that we want to do things and go places we really know we shouldn't, but you don't understand. Yeah, I do understand. Timothy and Titus is our witness today in the specifics of our day-to-day walk. Okay, so we work in horrible places, men. Sure we do. But Paul teaches us that we're going to have to. And you can still walk that walk because we're men. That's what we're supposed to do. And the ladies, you are caught up in doing our stuff, and it shouldn't be a fight for you. Your husband or your father should be helping you be the right woman you're supposed to be. Nobody does that anymore. No girls even want that anymore. This has to be Romans 11:22 coming up. Nobody's interested in it. See, this is all what's part of the goodness of God. This is all part of the goodness of God that Paul teaches. What's Paul's witness to us? Paul's witness to us is the goodness of God. But because we understand the goodness of God, we should be learning from Titus and Timothy how to walk. And that will separate us from everybody else. It's not as bad as it's going to be during the tribulation. But you know what? With the summer coming up, you know what you ladies are going to have to be? You're going to just have to be hot. That's all. You're just going to have to be hot. You have to be dressed so you're hot. You know that they dressed like that when they didn't have air conditioning? They still covered up with 15,000 slips and petticoats, and the men, they wore suits and ties all the time. And it wasn't hard to pick one because they all wore black and white. You know, they wouldn't go to places. But the world, through vanity, has convinced us that, well, you know, we can go, all things are lawful. No, all things are not lawful. They are lawful as far as the law goes, but you know, is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Is it going to edify? Is it going to be expedient? Is it going to be because your flesh wants to do it? Or because you can't help it? The power over you. Those are our battles. So Paul is our testimony. Paul is our witness. King James Bible, rightly divided, is our witness. That's the scriptures. And for the goodness of God, that's Paul's doctrine. For our walk and manner of life, that's Timothy and Titus, who was taught by Paul, who was taught by the risen Savior, who was the Son of God. There you go. That's it for today.